Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, you, you, and you. Let us all exalt the wonderful name of Jesus together. I am so glad that you have joined me on today, and I'm excited again for another wonderful lesson and how God is going to tremendously bless us and meet us here, right here in this session. So I want you to grab your Bible, come right on in, and just make yourself right at home, and you are in for a treat and a blessing. We're going to be talking about on today the birth of the church in Corinth. We've been exploring the life of Apostle Paul and how God has been used him or have used him in such a mighty and a special way. Did you know God really wants to use you in a profound way to touch many people, the multitude of people and your sphere of influences? God wants to do that. All you have to do is just allow him to flow in and through your life, and he's going to make a difference right in your social locale, whether that's beyond your job, whether that's in your home among your family, or if that's in your faith community, wherever you find yourself to be, God is going to richly, richly bless and use you in a mighty and a special way. So let's take a look at some of the things that God has did in and through the life of the wonderful Apostle Paul. Let's look at that. We're going to look at Acts chapter number 18, verses 1 through 11, is where we're going to find our scripture text from today. And it reads on this line, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he took his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean, and henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. In Cyprus, the chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Now, let us take a look at verses number 9 and 10. "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall sit on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And I want to share with you, God has many people right here in your city, in your local community, that he wants to impact their lives. And so let's take a look here at the city of Corinth. Well, the city of Corinth was the most important city in Greece, suppressing even Athens as the commercial and political center of the province. The ancient city of Corinth was already a flourishing city state by the middle of the 18th century BC. As a consequence of the strategic location along an east-west trade route. With the emergence of Rome as a world empire, Corinth came under increasing attack and eventually fell to the Roman army who forced its citizens to abandon it. Its building and walls were completely destroyed and it laid in ruins for a century. In 14 BC, however, Julius Caesar established a Roman colony on the site by placing there a mixed group of Italians and Greeks. From this humble beginning, once more arose a magnificent city of beautiful monuments, marble temples, with imposing Greek columns. An abundant underground water supply generated a growing city, attracting tradesmen all over the world and from all over the world. Now, Corinth emerged as a cosmopolitan city, as a center of the luxury, indulgence, and immorality and wickedness. Now, when I had opportunity to be there in Rome, and I was able to even attest to the water that supply that is there underground, as well as to see some of the magnificent beauty monuments and the marble temples and different things that they had of various wonderful architects that was taking place or that is there. And so some of those things are still yet there. And so among his many pagan temple was a temple dedicated to Aphrodite, a goddess of love and war. It was situated on a high hill above the city and attracted multitude who came to worship the goddess by giving money to the temple prostitute, both male and females, in exchange for taking all manner of sexual acts. Now, by the time of Paul's visit, about A.D. 50, the city of Corinth was also a bustling commercial and industrial center, boasting a population of almost 700,000 people. Now, from the midst of the center of wickedness and idolatry, God raised up a great church to spread the gospel. The birth of the Corinthian church in the midst of gross immorality and paganism is a testament to the great love of God. God loved the people of Corinth in spite of their wickedness, manifesting his grace and mercy by abundantly pouring out his spirit and enduing them with all manner of spiritual gifts. Although Paul may have felt all alone as he awaited Silas and Timothy to come from Macedonia, he was not afraid to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went to the synagogue every Sabbath with Aquila and Priscilla, and there he reasoned with the Jews. Whenever he was doing the work of God, when he had nothing to fear, God will open the door, opportunity, and perform wonders, even as we step out in faith. The greater the need, the more abundant is the grace of God. Now, in the midst of the great wickedness of our day, God is raising up spiritual churches that is holy, pure, and sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. Now, the Bible declares, "But where sin abound, grace did much more abound." You'll find that over in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. Now, let's take a look further into the life of Apostle Paul. Now, Paul, he found himself among friends, and he met new friends. When Paul arrived in Corinth from Athens, he met a man named Aquila and his wife Priscilla, who shared Paul's craft of tent making. Having a common interest in trade, Paul befriended them and lodged them in their home while doing his craft of tent making. However, it is important that this trade came to be as Paul's his missionary journey. Now, through his trade, he had learned as a youth, he was able to earn a living while performing his mission of proclaiming the gospel. Since he could perform his work anywhere he went, Paul was able to go anywhere God led him. Now, Aquila and Priscilla were from the province of Pontus in Asia Minor, having arrived there as part of the Jewish dispersion from Israel. Leaving Asia Minor, they had migrated to Rome to establish a home. And while I was there also in Rome and in Italy, I was able to visit some of the places where that was very populated at one time with Jews there. And so to be able to see some of these places was just breathtaking. Now let's look further. But they also recently have been forced to leave because of the empire Claudius, which commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Although they were the only recent arrival to Corinth themselves, they opened their homes to the Apostle Paul. Living in their home provided the apostle an opportunity to establish their friendship and trust. Someone said, "People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care." Now, it's important in the personal evangelism to first gain people's confidence and trust before sharing with them the need of repentance. While they shared their substance with him, Paul began to share with them spiritual riches of the kingdom of God. Listening carefully as he expounded the scriptures unto them, they came to believe the thing concerning Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. They went with Paul to the synagogue each Sabbath day, where he reasoned with both the Jews and the Greeks out of the scripture to convince them of the truth regarding the Messiah. Now, the Bible is always the most effective witness to the truth, for out of it are the issues of life. If individuals will not accept the scripture, they should accept the testimony of people. But Paul's anointed preaching and teaching of the word of God persuaded many people, both Jews and Gentiles. When we look at the scripture over in Romans 10, verses 12 to 14, it says, "For there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, let's look at some of Paul's old friends. Now, while Paul worked the work of God in Corinth, was progressing, Paul anxiously awaited for the arrival of his dear friends and fellow co-laborers in the gospel, Silas and Timothy. New friends open a new horizon of discovery, but there is nothing that compared with the bond of love and affection between the old, longtime friends. Now, when we are lonely, it is possible to make new friends, but it is impossible to make new old friends. Our range of shared experience with the old friends are indispensable treasure. It is virtually important to nurture friendship that will grow stronger with time. And that's what the scriptures say about that. Proverbs 17:17, it said, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Proverbs 18:24 said, "A man that have a friend must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Proverbs 27:10, "Thine own friend and thy father's friends forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother that is far off." Now, we cherish our old friends as treasure, and real friends will not forsake us when we're going through the fires of adversities and trials. And that's when you can find out if they really was a true friend anyway, if they can stand with you when you're in your worst of conditions and time. Now, thank God for true friends who will lift us up with words of encouragement and others who are wagging their fingers at us in our calamity. You can tell the difference. Now, Silas and Timothy's arrival from Macedonia gave the Apostle Paul new courage and boldness to preach the gospel. Emboldened by their arrival and renewal and refreshed in the spirit, he was ready to challenge the leaders of the synagogue to accept the message of salvation. Having already established a core of believers among the Jews and Greek in the synagogue, he desired to convince them that Jesus was the Messiah. And After having taught in the synagogue each Sabbath day, reasoning with them out of the scripture, Paul felt pressed in his spirit to boldly declare to them that Jesus was indeed the Messiah and the salvation through him alone. And it's amazing how quickly people change their attitude towards the scripture when the truth demands in explicit terms the need to believe and obey. Now, the Bible study had created to be an interesting discussion of scripture. It had became a challenge either for to accept or reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Often, individuals choose to continue in their religious tradition rather than to acknowledge the revelation of truth. Paul did not compromise the gospel, but waxing bold in the spirit, oh, Rabba Shanda, he proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ and the Savior of the world. Now, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse number 12. Faced with a decision to accept or reject what they had heard, the Jewish leader chose to reject Paul's message. And so here we find them rejecting it. And so when we hear the word, we must have something we have to do with it, either receive it or reject it, or look well into the matter so you can gain a greater understanding. Did you recognize that darkness means just a lack of understanding or a lack of knowledge and things? And when somebody sit in the place of darkness, that means they don't know that they have the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and come out of that dilemma and be able to walk in the abundancy of life as they receive the plan of salvation. Now let us look further and things. Paul also was not only among friends, but he was also among enemies. And so sometimes when we find ourselves moving forward, we're going to have good new friends and old friends, and then also we're going to be dealing with our enemies of our very own soul. And this is what Paul was dealing with. Because the revelation of the mighty God in Christ and the message of salvation by faith in the name of Jesus Christ was lost upon many of those in Corinth who were bound by the darkness of religious tradition. The Holy Spirit must illuminate the understanding of individuals for them to comprehend the spiritual truth of the scripture because they are spiritually discerned. The blindness of people's heart is a result of the sinful nature. A person can only come to repentance when he is drawn by God's Spirit because by his human nature, they gravitate towards the pleasure of sin. Now, John 3:19 through 21 states, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light lest his deeds should be made reproved. But he that doeth good truth cometh to light, that his deed may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, all those who love truth will come to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Those who love truth will set aside the former things that had them bound, and the truth of the word of God will make them free. Again, John 8. Verses 31, 32 state, and then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verses number 31 through 32. Now the Jews of Corinth not only opposed the gospel of Christ that Paul preached, but unwittingly they opposed themselves. Their exclusion from being set free by the power of the gospel was self-imposed because of the stubbornness of their own heart. They both rejected the truth and blasphemed the very scripture which they professed to believe. Only those who sincerely desire to know the truth will find it. Sincere, diligent search will end in spiritual fulfillment. And we must recognize that blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's Matthew 5 and verse number 6. It said, not everyone appreciates the importance of truth, but every true believer loves the truth and embraces it. Others know the truth, but they hold it in an unrighteous and dishonor God. Jesus warned in his Sermon on the Mount, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither catch ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Matthew 7:6. How quickly friends can become enemies when they must choose between truth and tradition, between Jesus Christ and error. They who had so gladly received the Apostle Paul into the synagogue were now ready to thrust him out of the midst of them. Now let's look at the old remedies to these even same things that kept coming up for Paul, and let's see how Paul dealt with it. Now, when Paul realized that the Jewish leaders had rejected the gospel which he had preached unto them, he shook off the dust from his robe against them and said, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. Acts 18:6. Individual can maintain fellowship only when God's word is in the common foundation upon which it is established. We who have received the truth must continue to walk in it without compromising the doctrine of Christ. Separation is necessary in order to preserve that which is acceptable to the Lord. The scripture admonishes us, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what common communion have light with darkness, and what concourse have Christ with Baal? Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as he hath said, I will dwell in you and walk in you, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separated, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. Now peace and harmony among all mankind is a noble pursuit, but not an expense of truth. Sooner or later, all individuals must decide whether they will seek to please God or mankind. When people reject truth, they separate themselves from those who would abide in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Paul admonished Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt be saved, both yourself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4:16. Now, fellowship among believers is important, for there are adversaries who seek to destroy the people of God. But in order for God's people to have fellowship one with another, they must continue mutually in the faith. Those who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution and will be hated by many in this world because they are not of this world. And as the world hates Jesus, so it is they will hate those who are called out of darkness and to walk in this marvelous light. And Jesus said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. John 15:19. And so sometimes you wonder why people may be treating you so meanly and mean-spirited towards you. Well, we must recognize the world is going to love their own, and they're going to hate God and Jesus and the things. The scripture said that. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And you find that in the scripture. So recognize that after you shared the gospel, after you shared your testimony, and they still want to reject or ridicule, the Bible said, you know, shake the dust off your feet and let your peace be turned back unto you. And things can go on and find yourself with the believers or ask God to lead you and guide you to that one that was ready to receive the word of God, that will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto their church. And so, Father, as we get ready to bring conclusion here, Apostle Paul and the believers, now the church next door to the synagogue, let's check and see what was going on and what was transpiring in all this. Now, rejected by the leaders of the Jewish synagogue, Paul entered into the home of a man, Justus, a convert to Christian faith. Justus was known for his fervent worship of God and as well as to please to open his home as a place to open the home to the work of God. Now, the Bible records that his home was joined hard to the synagogue, suggesting that Justus' home may have shared a common wall with the synagogue. Regardless, the place of the meeting for the Christian worship set aside by side with the Jewish synagogue. Having followers of Jesus meeting in such a close proximity probably angered and disappointed those who had rejected the message that Jesus was Christ. Now, although that thrust out of the synagogue was a temporary setback, Paul did not allow discouragement or disappointment to hinder the preaching of the gospel. And that's something that is key. You cannot afford to allow disappointment and discouragement to cause you to stop doing or hinder what God is doing in and through your life. Paul, who set the wonderful example, he continued on steadfast. He stayed bound in the Spirit of God, going forth and doing the work and the will of the Lord. Now, such as it is for ourselves, we must stay bound in the Spirit, focus in on what the Lord Jesus Christ has laid down in our spirits and hearts to do as never before. Now, knowing that he was doing the service of the Lord, he was confident that God would open the door of opportunity. The word of God declares that a man's gift will make room for him, Proverbs 18:16. Seeing an open door of opportunity, Paul seized the moment and established a new church. Out of difficulties emerged a confident faith in the ability of God to perform his will. And that is right there. Many things are birthed right out of the place of adversity. God is birthing something out of our lives, whether it's a fruit, whether it's a church, whether it's a soul, whether it's a witness, whether it is planting a seed or watering a seed or God giving increase. We must constantly look for what God is doing in the midst of our adversity. And what the adversary will want us to do is get so engulfed by the adversity that we cannot see or discern the move of God. And so I come to tell you and encourage your heart on today is to begin to look for God's hand even in the midst of that adverse situation. God is birthing greatness. God is birthing destiny. He's manifesting his supernatural abilities and power, his grace and his mercy and compassion. Right in the midst of that situation where the adversary will want us to get so inflamed emotionally and beset in our thoughts and mind that, oh, how I'm going to come out of this or what's going to happen. No, God, what are you doing? Lord, your will be done. I give you glory. I give you praise in the midst of this until you show me, until I see what you want to and things. So I have to believe to see. And the world always said for us as to see to believe. But when you walking in Zion, we have to believe to see. Keep believing God. One of the things I love what Sarah said, she said, I judge you faithful. And so God himself, she was saying, I judge you faithful. And so even in the midst of our problems or circumstances, we must turn back to God and say, God, I know I don't understand it all right now, but I know that you're totally in control, and I judge you faithful that you will do what you said you would do, that you will bring me out, you will open a door, that you will make a way, that you will send forth the things that I have need of. Matter of fact, your word declare that you've given me everything that pertains to life and godliness, and I'm looking, God, for what you're doing in and through this situation. And I'm looking for the fruit so that I can understand it, embrace it, and embody that what you're doing in this circumstances. So we must recognize that as we further look in here, as Justus allowed his house to be used as a synagogue or a sanctuary of worship, modern day churches have even begun in the living room of somebody's home. While this may seem like a great sacrifice, the eternal reward far outweighs any cost of or any inconvenience. As a faithful worshiper of God, Justice probably felt honored to have his house become the center of a Christian faith center where God will meet his people at. And because of his unselfish gratitude toward God, he came to witness the growth of a mighty Christian church as God raised up a multitude of believers in Corinth, like Obed-Edom, who allowed the Ark of the Covenant to remain in his house for many days during the reign of King David. God blessed Justice, and his name will be forever remembered because it is recorded in the Word of God of what he did. And so sometimes when we just allow God to use that which we have, God will forever bless you for opening your home, opening your heart, even opening your thoughts to allow him to dwell in your heart, mind, and soul. He will forever bless you because you made in a place for him to abode and suck with and among his people. Now let's look at this. As we further look, the Jews and the Greek, they believed. Now, the work of God in Corinth began among the Jews and then spread among the Gentiles. As Paul continued teaching and preaching in the house of Justice, many more believed were added to the church, both of Jews and Greek. One of the Jews who was converted shortly thereafter was Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue. Crispus not only believed the message of Jesus Christ, but also his entire house was converted, which caused a great stir among the Corinthians, both Jews and Gentiles. Now, when someone in leadership who is highly esteemed embraced the gospel, it is often leads a tremendous spiritual awakening and affects many. When the conversion of the Crispus and his household was broadly known, multitude came to believe Jesus Christ and was baptized in his name. Both Jews and Gentiles were baptized into the body by the Spirit of Christ, and they all worshiped God together in perfect harmony. Truly, God is no respecter of person. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Radical prejudice should not exist among the children of God. Christ died for all people that all might become one in him. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle walls of partition between us, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For though through him we were both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We find that over in Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 17, also 17 and 18. Now, among those who became Christian in Corinth was Phoebe, Titius, Gaius, and it goes on, Chloe, and it goes on of all the ones that was given their life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it was over what? It was over 10 people or more that had changed and given their life unto the Lord that is mentioned there in Corinthians chapter number 16. Now, let's look at it as an encouraging word from the Lord. Now, there had been a great harvest of souls in Corinth, but God had a plan to establish them as disciples. Instead of continuing his journey as he had often done, Paul continued his ministry in Corinth for 18 months. God directed Paul in a night vision. He said, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man will set on thee to harm thee, for I have much people in the city. Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. This word of encouragement directed from God convinced Paul of the need to remain in Corinth, teaching and preaching the gospel. If there has been any lingering doubt in his mind as to whether God would be with them, his fresh vision removed all doubt. He did not hesitate to proclaim boldly that Jesus Christ was the true Messiah and the Savior of the world. We must not be afraid to preach the gospel message of the mighty God in Christ. Only through faith in his name can our sin be remitted by the obedience to his word, Just as Paul preached repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus, and receiving the Holy Ghost as evidence by speaking in other tongues, so must we also not compromise the truth. Woe be unto us if we hold our peace and refuse to preach the full message of salvation. Those who are filled with the Holy Ghost must boldly preach God's word. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are armed with the word of encouragement and faith, and are well able to perform that which God has called us to. To the Lord assure Paul that he would be with him and would keep him safe from harm. Further, God hath promised Paul a great harvest, for I have much people in the city, Acts 18 and 10. Unlike Paul, we often labor in the harvest field, not knowing whether we will see great results personally. Yet we must not lose faith in God. His word will not return to him void. Like Jeremiah, we must leave the results to God while we continue to sow the seed of his word. Although Jeremiah did not see immediately success for his ministry, he did not refrain from prophesying the word of God. He was mocked by the people of Israel because of the word from the Lord that he prophesied to them. Moreover, he became weary with the speaking and being held in derision, but he could not refrain from speaking. The scriptures say over in Jeremiah 20 and 8 and 9, for since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Waxing bold in spirit by the power of the Holy Ghost, Paul fulfilled the plan of God by remaining in Corinth until God raised up a vibrant church empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, my God, Lord, empower your churches with the gifts of the Spirit, God, and bless us with a great boldness to wax strong like Paul did by the power of the Holy Ghost to proclaim your unadulterated word in this lost and begotten world. And so in my conclusion on today, although we lived in the midst of perverse and wicked generation, God has called us out of darkness in order for us to shine as the light of his glorious gospel upon those who would believe. God knows those who would have a holy, overcoming life, and he is willing and ready to redeem them from the ugliness of sin. Since we belong to the body of Christ, we should not fear those who will war against us. God has promised never to leave or forsake us. The importance of serving Jesus comes because before all else in this life, if we will earnestly pursue pleasing God above all in other pursuit, God is faithful and he has promised us eternal rewards. If God be for us, who can be against us? God has called us to be holy service and to a holy service, and he is able to give us the victory over every foe. He has set us into the world to make disciples of all nations, and he also empowered us that we might be able to finish the task. When we are opposed by those who resist the truth, we should pray fervently that the Holy Ghost will open their ears to truth. There is no weapon formed against us that shall prosper if we go in the name of Jesus. Let us be encouraged in the Lord when the enemy comes against us, because ye are of the God, the little children, and ye have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we must recognize, and the wicked one touches us not. Now let's look at the scripture over in Isaiah 54 and 17. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall raise up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, said the Lord, Isaiah 54:17. I don't care what type of weapon they set up against you. It shall not, according to the word, it will not and shall not prosper. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it smells like. I don't care how it feels like. It will not prosper as what the word of the Lord has said. And we must recognize that and stand on that and even speak to the weapons and speak and tell them, it will not prosper according to the word of the Lord. It's not going to prosper. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what it smelled like. I don't care what it feel like. It could look like a Goliath. It could look like a lion's den. It could look like the fiery furnace, whatever. God will bring you out with a testimony. Amen. He will bring you out in things that you can bring forth much glory and honor unto the Lord our God. And so Paul, he didn't draw back from performing the will of God when he faced opposition, but he put his trust in the Lord. Making new friends in Aquila and Priscilla was instrumental in starting the work in Corinth. Later, Justus, one of the new converts, showed his gratitude towards Paul by offering his house as a place of worship when Paul was no longer welcome in the Jewish synagogue. These new friends were of great value to establishment of the work of God in Corinth. To their effort was added the faithful service of Silas and Timothy, Paul's trusted friends of old and laborers in the gospel. So here we have the birthing of a new church must involve everyone walking together in harmony and faith. Then God will be able to raise up a people for his name. Oh, child of God, as you're walking in the things of God, I encourage you to walk with in harmony and in peace and the spirit of oneness with those that God has called you to in the vineyard where you're at, and watch God bless your life in a mighty and a special way because of your faithfulness unto the Lord our God. And so I pray that you have been blessed. I pray that you have gained a better understanding and able to look how God used Apostle Paul right in the midst of chaos and in a place where it was gross wickedness going on. He raised up a vibrant church to go forth to carrying and bearing the wonderful name of Jesus. And so right where you're at, God is going to raise you up and raise up a great and mighty work because you dare to be faithful to God and the things of God. Continue to be blessed and encouraged, child of God, as you go forth, whether it's being in the usher, whether it's on the praise and worship team, whether it's working in a food bank, wherever you're working, let the glorious gospel shine forth and ask God to bless you with opportunities that you're able to be a blessing of sharing the wonderful gospel with someone who is lost and do not know. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow, and don't be discouraged nor dismayed. Continue to press forth and forward in the work of the Lord. Until we meet again, remember, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. According to Matthew 7:7, that's a promise that belongs to you, child of God. And so continue to be blessed until we meet again. Bye-bye.